Hello, or as it's said in Czech, ahoy, and welcome to this edition of Radio Linguistica. In the view of the Czech presidency in the second half of 2022, we will present today the Czech language. I welcome here our Czech colleagues, Martin Kukal and Vítězslav Zemánek.
Ahoj.
Ahoy.
Ahoj.
Ahoj.
They are both Bohemists. So no Bohemians, but Bohemists. That means perhaps two Bohemians too. That means experts of the Czech language. So you both have experience in teaching Czech language to foreigners.
That's right.
Is Czech a difficult language to learn?
Definitely. We can confirm
Yes.
that. And there are very many reasons for that, beginning with the phonetics that is quite complicated, and also morphology and other features in the grammar. And obviously, it's a Slav language. So, if, for example, your first language is English or French or German or other Germanic or Romance language. Also, from the point of vocabulary, you will probably meet much more words that are not actually resembling anything that you are used to. So, also, vocabulary can be a problem.
Of course, it's more difficult for those whose mother tongue is not a Slavonic one. So to learn Czech is or should be easier for people from Slav countries. But for those who are English native speaker, for example, it might be very difficult because there is no declension. So to go through all these paradigms, it's very difficult, apart from the vocabulary, as Martin said, of course.
At the same time, even for Slav language speakers, it usually is more difficult than they expect, because the Czech declension is probably the most difficult of all the Slav languages, because we kept almost the Indo-European state of the declension. We have seven cases, and all of them are used. And there are not really many signs of simplifying the system like that. So, in practically all the Slav languages, the other Slav languages, the declension is a little bit simpler or considerably simpler.
Well, we talk about this in detail. First, well, you mentioned that pronunciation
Absolutely.
is a challenge for foreigners, even for those speaking Slavic languages. And here is a famous phrase: "Put your finger through your throat." Well, actually, you should avoid that. But how does it so sound in Czech? Please read this sentence in Czech.
Strč prst skrz krk.
So a sentence without vowel, and you can even tell a whole story without vowels in Czech. Would be one of you to read the story first in English. It's a slightly surrealistic story about a wolf, as you will hear now.
Martin, can you read it, please?
In English. Okay, so it's a story about a wolf from the Brdy Mountains. A wolf from the Brdy Mountains. These are mountains near Prague, actually. A wolf escaped from Brdy. He stormed through a ravine into a ford of deer. Stupid. He sputtered, knocked down a spruce, tore a sod, hurled the sod into a clump of cornflowers. He swallowed a handful of grains through his throat. Full of grains, he slurped a draught from the waves. The wolf burped, blinked, and fell silent.
Yes, very nice story. Well, a little bit absurd. And now we hear it in Czech.
Vlk zdrhl z brd. Vtrhl skrz strš v tvrz srn. blb. Prskl, zvedl smrk, strhl drn, mrskl drn v trs chrb. Zhltl hrst zrn skrz krk, pln zrn vsrkl hlt z vln. Vlk brkl, mrkl, zmlkl.
Well, very nice, thank you. A whole story without any vowel, and that's possible perhaps only in Czech language. And now, well, at least every cultivated person should be able to pronounce correctly the names of the most famous composers in Czech. Well, please, can one of you read the three names?
It is Bedřich Smetana, if we start from the oldest one, then Antonín Dvořák, and Leoš Janáček. Actually, Leoš Janáček is very interesting from the point of Czech phonetics as well, because his way of composing music actually used the sounds of the Czech language, and not only in terms of vowels and consonants, but also in terms of the intonation. And so to him, every Czech sentence was a piece of music already. And it was also very important for him from the rhythm point of view, because the Czech language is very original, as its stress in each word is actually not very strong. It always falls on the first syllable, but is so weak that actually the other syllables are preserved in the same quantity and quality as if they had the stress. In that way, Czech words seem to be very even and balanced, and that influences the melody, because you can, for example, pay attention to the quantity, long vowels, even if they come as second, third, fourth, fifth syllable in the word. So in this way, for example, Janáček's operas are very distinct and expressive, which is partly the reason of why they are so popular.
I would like to add to these names, Bedřich and Dvořák. Here we have another nice example of something typical Czech, if we can call it like this. And this is the letter and sound R, which is
the R with a hatchet.
R with a hook, R with a hatchet, R with a hook. This sound, if you can say it like this, only exists in very, very few languages in the world. The Czech is probably the biggest one, or the most known one.
Most spoken, yeah.
Most spoken.
Yes, it even doesn't exist in Slovak. We'll talk about the differences between Slovak and Czech yet, but I think in Slovak it doesn't exist.
It does not exist. It's really something distinguishing Czech from Slovak, but also from other Slavonic languages. This R is also interesting because it can be voiced or voiceless, depending on the position in the word. And quite difficult for many students, and also for Czech children. This might be one of the last sounds they learn to pronounce. Really,
and sometimes
until the age of 5, 6, I, for example, really remember the moment when I said R for the first time.
Oh yes,
it was at my grandmother's house, and it was after many, many attempts to pronounce it, because it was really the last sound I could not pronounce, and the school start was approaching, so I was getting nervous that I go to school without knowing to pronounce zh. But then during the summer at the grandmother's house, I finally said it, and that's why I remember it until now.
So in Dvorak, it's vo with voice or
Yes, yes.
yes,
Yeah, voice.
and
Specific to.
do you have an example where it's voiceless?
It's, for example, in the end of the word, for example, cash, which
Which is bush,
means
a bush.
bush,
Ah,
there.
Or it depends which consonants comes with. If it's a voiceless one, like chi, which means three, then it is not the voiced one, zh, but sh, that there is a slight difference. So, for example, in the name Bedřich Smetana, if instead of D there would be a T in front of zh, then there would be a voiceless version of zh.
Well, another challenge you have already mentioned, especially for non-Slavic speakers, but even for Slavic speakers, is the grammar, the rich amount of different forms. Well, I have selected here only one example for declension. So could you please decline the name for man in Czech? Perhaps.
Martin, you, me. Muž, muže, mužovi or muži. Accusative muže, vocative muži, locative mužovi muži, instrumental mužem. We have to also to add that this is only one paradigma of many others. In masculine gender, there are six paradigmas, so seven cases, six paradigmas, singularis, pluralis. For feminina, four, and for neutra, also four. So there are 14 different paradigma for Czech names.
Yes, well, I studied myself Slavic languages, and in Polish it's quite similar, because Polish is still quite similar to Czech, as I remember. And I remember still the priest and prince. That was the most horrible thing. Kshons and kshange, their declination is completely irregular, I suppose, in Czech as well. What is priest or prince?
Kněz actually is declined like muž, so it's the same paradigm. Kníže, though, that is very complicated, but we don't consider it a paradigm, because these exceptional cases that the Czech language is full of is they have their own declination, and it is completely a part, you could say. So it is actually declined as if it was a neutral substantive. And in some cases, you can use also the masculine animate endings, but as obviously that is not a noun that would be used very often, it's not considered to be really so important. But obviously, in the Czech language, unlike in Polish, there are many, many, many of these, the so-called exceptions, which are actually preserved from the oldest stages of the language. Czech is actually much more conservative than Polish. So there are really a lot of these exceptions throughout the declension. Also, the paradigms, of course, yes, you have six paradigms, for example, for masculine. But then, if you look more closely at the second paradigm, you have another sub-paradigm within that second paradigm. And there are so many combinations, like with one word you use one ending from the main paradigm, the other ending from the sub paradigm. You know, other words have it, vice versa, and so on. And you can go into many details. So actually, to say that there are six paradigms, it's a kind of a summary, all right? But
Yes.
then if you go more into the details, it gets more complicated. I would say that unlike in Polish, there are actually less exceptions. There is more system, but the system is more complicated. So if you make a mistake, it sounds more like a mistake than an exception that you didn't get, actually. So in this way, it might be a little more tricky than in Polish.
You mentioned,
I
yes,
learned
please.
Polish. I just want to add that I learned Polish so I can speak that language. And for me, it seems to me that Polish declension is easier than the Czech one. But on the other hand, the Polish conjugation is worse and more difficult than the Czech one. Also for Czech native speaker. So it must
Well,
be difficult for,
perhaps
instance,
for
for them. It's another
non-Slavic.
story.
Yes, we could just mention for speakers who don't know Slavic languages, the category of imperfect and perfect. Perhaps you could comment on this.
Yes,
Go for
every
it.
verb that grammatical category is called aspect, which can be perfect or imperfect. Almost all verbs can have these two aspects, whereas there are also some verbs which have only one or the second one or both in the same form. And the perfect aspect expresses an action which is fulfilled, and the imperfect one which is not fulfilled. And this action can be in, this fulfilled action can be in future or past, and this imperfect action can be both in past, present, and then also in the future. But there are differences in using aspect category among Slavonic languages. In that particular aspect is a particular aspect. The Czech is also a little bit distinguished, but it's quite linguistic.
Maybe we could say that if you very often the way to approach the aspect is through teaching future. So if you start with teaching the present, then you go to the past tense and then you go to the future tense. Sometimes you actually find out that the future tense is from the point of the form of the verb the easiest one. But from the point of the semantics, when to use the so-called future can be very complicated. And also, sometimes, if you want to make a future tense out of the present tense that you already know, it might be really tricky because you sometimes have to use a prefix. There are 13 possibilities. Sometimes you have to use a suffix, sometimes both. Sometimes it doesn't work like that at all. So actually, if you count all those possibilities, it is something like 40. We go to the number of 40. So there are actually 40 ways of turning a verb in present tense into the future tense. So if you want to master and feel how to use the perfective and imperfective verb from the point of view of the meaning, first you should master the forms. And already the forms are very complicated. So yes, it's very tricky.
It's a challenge, and I remember from learning Slavic languages that you always had to learn two verbs pair
Absolutely.
for every because
Absolutely.
it's completely irregular. You have no rules, no patterns. Well, you have patterns, but it's actually which prefix to use. It's not really
And
logical.
It's a category which is in constant development,
That's also true.
because when we when new verbs are introduced into the Czech language, usually nowadays from the English, they are without that aspect form. So there is a natural tendency to make it both perfect and imperfect. So, and in this aspect, many other languages like Polish or Slovak even are much further than the Czech. It takes longer time until the Czech adopts the difference or the new form with some prefix, for example.
Well, fortunately, the staple diet in Czechia, beer is very easily pronounced. Pivo. Perhaps you can tell us how you have to order a beer in Czech.
Well, that is actually very simple. Also the word shows you how simple and at the same time important beer is for the Czech culture, because actually it is derived from the verb to drink. So pivo actually means the stuff to drink. Okay, so you just you just mention it, and the beer is being served basically, and very often you have to notify in a pub that you don't want another one, rather than that you want. So that shouldn't be a problem in the Czech Republic to enjoy beer.
But
Very
there are
often.
some, yes?
Very often, can you go back to that
Oh,
previous
yes.
slide? The sentences mean one beer, please, and the second one more beer. But very often, the second sentence comes with a question mark from the waiter. One more beer? Or mostly, is it as Martin says, without even asking, you get another beer?
I know
Because
this from Bavaria. Yes, yes.
once you decided to go to the pub, it's not for one beer in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Can you please read the how to order beer?
Jedno pivo, prosím. Ještě jedno, or ještě jedno pivo.
Another one which perhaps the waiter will ask you. Yes.
Yeah.
Or he would just bring it. And then there are some local habits linked to beer. Could you comment a little bit on this, just for fun?
Well, I think the first two pictures, definitely there are people who do it like that they cling it up there and down there, but very often you can just do it whichever way. And then you put it on the table just like they do it in other countries, and then you enjoy it. But I don't think it's obligatory. If you look forward to enjoying the beer, you can skip all these.
You don't lose your honor
No,
one
no, 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 no,
forever.
no, no,
Yes.
not at all, not at all.
And there are also variants to this. For example, between stage two and three can be one more that you just how to say touches the two glasses longer time like this. Yeah. So and
It's
then I don't know how to say třít osebe.
So it means here that you are very friendly with the other
Yeah,
person.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that the glasses are making hugging or petting or something like
Yeah,
this.
they massage each other.
Massage each other.
Well, Czechia is, as look on the map tells you, in the very middle of Europe, and it's clear that there are many words from other languages in Czech, and there are also some words from Czech language in other languages. Could you comment on this?
Yes, the first example is on the slide. It's the word we know from many languages, pistol. It original of this word is in the Czech word pišťala, which means whistle. And in the beginning of 15th century, pišťala was the name of a hand cannon used by Hussites. And so that name, whistle, was used for a gun, and then that word used for a gun was then transformed to other languages in Europe, Middle Age German, Middle Age French, and from that bigger languages that then the word pistol came to other languages as well. So it is not directly from Czech to all other languages in the world. It's always in etymology that it goes through some languages.
Also, the hand cannon actually did exist before the Hussites were using it, but they really used it extensively, and because they were very successful and that they won very many battles, probably they liked that hand cannon quite a lot and had that expressive name for it. So in this way, it was quite well known that they are using something like that and calling it a whistle.
Yeah,
And another famous word
another
from Czech.
famous word is robot, which comes from the play from 1920 from Karel Čapek, RUR, which stands for Rossum's Universal Robots, where it was used for the first time in that meaning, like robot. And it comes from the word Slavic word robota, which means both hard work, drudgery, or statute labor, corvée, also in English. So that is the etymology. And
But it has been created by Čapek.
it has been created in that particular meaning as a robot, like a figure who helps the mankind to do the hard work in that play, in that theater play.
And perhaps words from other languages in Czech.
Yeah, there are many, like in many other languages.
Obviously, nowadays there is a very intense influx of various words from English, which is now much wider. But that started centuries ago with sports terminology and so on. So that's very similar to other languages.
I mean,
Very rich.
can I just want to add to that English, to that English, that of course we have words like software, hardware from English, and they are still written like in English, because the Czech seems to be quite conservative to change the orthography or to bohemize the orthography, but it just takes longer time than in other languages, like for example Slovak. But we also have English words which are quite domestic now, like weekend or trener, I think, or sweater, which are written in like in Czech with Czech orthography, not like in English.
And Svetr actually even entered a tongue twister for the R that is a nucleus of a syllable. Petr, fletr, pleto, svetr, for example. So you can hear that it very well entered the Czech system.
Of course, very many words coming from German because of this neighborhood or common life together for centuries. It's not only words like Burcht, Talisch, Rittisch, Knedlik, but also phraseologisms. Yeah, we can say meet Kliku. It's from the German Glück haben.
But of course, it sounds a little bit different in Czech, not only in terms of the phonology, but to the Czech people, it actually means to have a doorknob because klika is a doorknob. All right. So to us, it sounds like, oh, if you know how to open a problem, you're lucky or something
Oh,
like that.
yes. Well, unfortunately, we are already close to the end of our emission, but we just want to talk a little bit about the relation between Czech and Slovak language, which are languages very close to each other. Please, some words about that.
Yes, they are really very close to each other. If I can compare it, this situation with some other situation, I would say Norwegian and Swedish or Norwegian and Danish. They say it's also very, very close and can understand each other. So it's the same with Czechs and Slovak. Obviously, we had a common country, Czechoslovakia, where you could really hear the language, both languages everywhere, or read in the newspapers and so.
At the same time, there are many false friends, which you, for example, can see on the screen. And it is maybe not so strong as in the case of Czech and Polish, but still, yes, you could run into trouble if you mix them up. Like you see there, obor in Slovak means giant, whereas in Czech it means a branch, a field, and so on, and many, many, many others. Yeah, and also we have to say that unfortunately, children nowadays not having so much contact with the other language, they would probably run into these kinds of problems much more easily than our generation. Yeah.
Still, it's much more common to encounter Czech in the Slovakia than Slovak in Czechia. Here in Slovakia, because I am now in Slovakia, here you can really buy Czech books, Czech newspapers. There are movies on cinema in Czech dubbing, for example, or so there is much more contact from Slovak side towards Czech than opposite, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for this interesting contributions, for your interesting presentation of the Czech language. Just at least when you want to learn Czech, there is a site studyczech.cz, and well, we will publish this this link on Sofia, of course, and so then you can start to learn Czech. And as you see, it's a very interesting, very rich language with some challenges, but really lovers of more complicated languages, they find their material there. Thank you
We
very
agree.
much.
Thank you.
And good
We
and
thank
good
you and thank you to the listeners for the interest. Yeah.
And goodbye, or as you say in Czech, nasledanou.
Naschledanou.
Naschledanou.